Weekends on the Fanatic. T. Lynam and Joe Torty. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Rock, paper, scissor competition in the city. It's D. Lynam and Joe Torty. Dylan McKinnon is here this morning. Happy Saturday to you as we roll on until 8 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, getting your morning started. D. Lynam, how are you doing today?
Do you think you would beat me in rock, scissors, papers? Is that what that is all about?
Losing rate is not high, D. I've got to say, losing rate is not high. Right. So,
do I make a move up the draft board if I beat you?
Look, it's not the only thing that I'm going to make a determination on, but it couldn't hurt. Hurt if you beat me.
All right. Maybe I go from, you know, sixth round to fifth if I go, boom!
That's exactly. You pull out the paper when I'm not expecting it. That's the easiest way to cook me, I think. Like I said, Dylan McKinnon is producing the program.
Brutal.
Dylan's okay. He's all right.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about listening to that was brutal.
Oh, jeez. You know, in politics, on both sides of the aisle, sometimes you've heard people say, you know, I think it'd be better if our guy just didn't talk. Like, you've heard that said in the past on both sides. The Eagles might be approaching that territory quickly. You know what? It might just be better if our guy just doesn't talk for a little while. Let's get some wins on the board or whatever.
So quickly, I look terrible forever condemning Doug Peterson for his words at the podium ever.
Yeah.
Because this guy takes it to a whole different level.
Certainly does. We are rolling on until 8 o'clock. We have lots to get to. Want to talk about the Sixers and what they look like without Ben Simmons. I also want to put together, I saw this, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter yesterday, putting together a college basketball team with $15. Did you see this?
No.
Right. It's one of those things where you have a $1 player, $2, all the way up to $5 for every position.
Oh, okay.
And you build your teams.
In building up towards the NBA draft.
Yes.
They're looking at those.
Yes.
Players.
Although these featured all timers.
Oh,
so, you know,
forever.
Yeah.
I got you.
So for me, you know, I was the one who got spoiled with the book, like the 100 greatest college basketball players. And seeing as I can only take one center, right? I figured for $5, I'll take Lou Alcindor. And then for $5, I'll take Pete Maravich, who scored more in college than anyone else.
Right.
And I'll piece together the rest with my last $3. You know what I mean?
I got you a rebounder that would have done well for you.
Yeah.
Hank Gathers.
Okay, there you go. Hank Gathers.
For value.
I was going to say that.
You would go a long ways there.
Yeah, you could save it. So I'll pull that up for you if you haven't seen it. We'll have you take a look at it. But I do want to start off with the Eagles, because the NFL draft has snuck up on us.
It has not snuck up.
I wish it had happened
already 3 weeks ago. Stop.
Thursday.
Stand the style. Oh, my God. But yeah. Yep, Thursday it is.
So what's the biggest turnoff for you about the way, like, the buildup to the NFL draft? Let me put it that way.
The need to create conversation that has to change over the same topic over such a long span of time.
Right.
If you really, now it is upon you. It's fair. Thursday's right around the corner now. Now do you start to speak the truth about what they will do at number 12?
Mm.
Will you actually, as a group, are you now saying this is what we really believe they will do? Because up to this point, you go in a gazillion different directions just to create conversation about a topic that's important to a lot of people. And because you have a team that has so many needs, honestly, the conversation was allowed to go in a gazillion directions.
It's true.
But at the end of the day, 11 of their last 13 picks have been linemen.
Yeah, it's offensive or defensive line.
But it is lineman.
Yep.
So, similar to my name, lineman.
as someone who's been there before at an NFL draft, generally speaking, on the day, most media people there have gathered from talking to each other, talking to teams and stuff like that. Usually there are no surprises.
They know what's happening.
In the top six at least. And then 7, 8, 9 is where things start to go kind of nuts and kind of insane.
And then what's left on the board by the time you get to 12,
right,
they have a good idea of what you're going to do just looking at what's on the board.
Right. Exactly. So it's possible that we're starting to get a little more clarity on what the Eagles are doing. My least favorite part about this is teams posturing and trying to, because I can't separate the fact that they're kids, that they're, you know, 19, 20, 21 year old kids that are getting dragged through the mud by teams that want them because they don't want anyone else to have. So all of this stuff that comes out. Now, to your point, Dean, sometimes there are things that pop up last second. Like, you're not always going to see Laramie Tunsil in a Darth Bong mask or whatever, like right before the draft starts, when this is a guy who's expected to be the top 3 or 4 pick. So sometimes things legitimately do change right before the draft happens. But all of this moving up and down the draft board, and you've got this talking head talking about where this guy's stock is going up and down, like they've played a college football game since, you know, the last time that we had a conversation about it. It does get to be a little bit much. I agree with you there. It gets to be, you know, a little bit overloaded.
Only because, I mean, I think you should factor in your pro days. Combines generally have changed conversation.
Yes.
You didn't have that.
Right.
So that could have contributed to how these conversations this year went. The combine probably would have been stolen at least 2 weekends worth of what so-and-so did at the combine, you know?
Yes.
And you didn't have that. So maybe that's, it was just, you thought it was a year that was weird. Now it's a year and a half that's weird because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
We're just not out of it yet.
The pro day timings just do nothing for me. Like, just on 40s and stuff like that. But look, you can't fake how many bench press reps somebody does, but somebody being quick on the stopwatch is not surprising.
No.
I don't know what they're going to do.
There's nothing you can do about it. You know, I think you can... Does your eye tell you truth? I don't know. I think you have to put less stock in that, to be honest with you.
So let me ask you this, D, because somebody in a similar size market told me very recently, you guys in Philly are so sensitive. You guys have such thin skin, and anytime anybody mentions Philly or whatever, and I said, listen.
Thin-skinned about what? Give me an example.
Well, I mean, it is what he said. He said, anything that Carson Wentz does or anything that anyone else does who's ever been associated with Philly, you guys are all over. And my response was, not every city gets the Justin Jefferson treatment where he goes on and says that he's definitely happy that he ended up in Minnesota rather than in Philly, despite the fact that he was thinking that he was going to land in Philly the whole time. So, Justin, we're already hurting enough. The 3 definitelys is not a necessary thing.
Well, it's fine for me. I don't care. That does not bother me at all.
That he didn't want to be here?
No, he didn't say he didn't want to be here. He's just fine being where he is. Why would he not, given the year he had as a rookie?
I mean,
why wouldn't you give it 3 definitelys? Because he's doing just definitely fine.
Well, he certainly is.
Right.
And you compare it with
Rager. So, I mean, I have no problem answering that question the way he did.
I didn't either. I didn't have a problem with it either.
I mean, that's just, I'm not sure I would want to be living in Minneapolis right now, but
well, I mean, I
that's
hear
a
that.
Whole nother thing. But for him on the field, it was so good of a year that you would feel like you are in the right place. You got there for the right reasons.
Right.
You were passed over for some reason. And I'm just glad I'm here because I know what? I'm going to be successful here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the truth. Now, I saw this regarding Jalen Waddle's been a name that's been tied to the Eagles a fair amount. They're in the wide receiver market. Waddle might be one of the second or third, fourth wide receivers taken because of medicals and things like that. I saw, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah, but I'm sorry if it wasn't. Some draft analyst was saying that he does all of the things that Jalen Reagor does, but better. And so...
What is that Jalen does? I'm sorry. I'm maybe I've been sleeping.
So
or lacking sleep.
I'm sitting there thinking, okay, it could mean two things. One thing, it could mean that Jalen Reagor is good and Jalen Waddle is exceptional. Like it could mean that, right? It could mean that the Eagles could end up with two really excellent pieces on the outside.
But if he says he does all the things that Jalen Reagor does, and I'm saying, if I look at a stat sheet, what did Jalen Reagor do?
Right.
That I'm supposed to be, but better.
Well, I think that what they were talking about is from like a skill set perspective rather than a production perspective.
Okay, so a skill set, speed.
Yeah, speed in space. Okay, thanks, Dylan. It was Daniel Jeremiah. My problem really was that, like, okay, if they take Jalen Waddle, we've seen the Eagles put together wide receiving cores in the past. They do it like a basketball team, or at least they try to, where everybody has different roles, different body types. They do different stuff. If they're going to take Jalen Waddle in
the
first round,
that would be two of the same.
And Jalen Ray, and if this guy's better, then that was literally a wasted first round pick last year that you could have spent on a member of your basketball team that looks completely different.
Well, but could you put them on opposite sides and just be invested in two guys who do it?
Right.
The same way, but well.
Because it is a different coaching staff, it's a different offensive system.
And
it's
every,
possible. Yeah.
You know, for a rock, scissors, paper guy, he does work with wide receivers. And that is the one thing people think he can be the difference for Reagor having, you know, if injury is aside, a really good year compared to his rookie year.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I don't know. I have no idea, but...
610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation if you want to climb aboard. Based on everything that you've heard and seen from Nick Sirianni, more importantly from Howie Roseman, this idea that Howie Roseman is paying scouts to go out there and gather scouting reports on people, and then literally, like, not literally, but figuratively lighting these things on fire because he's got his own personal draft board anyway, and that's the one that counts, which is more
ridiculous. Give him a Bic. Boom.
Just light it up.
Light it up and watch it just burn.
Besides being a ridiculous organizational waste, if that is the case, do you have faith, D, that they're going to quote-unquote get it right, or is this going to be another thing just like last year, just like the year before, just like the year before that, where you're going to have, after the draft, being like, what were the Eagles thinking with their draft picks?
Well, if he takes a lineman on either side, I think he could get that possibly right.
Okay.
Maybe, but
they've been
okay
at drafting line.
But Dillard was not.
No, that was not a good one.
Not a good one. Lane Johnson is a good one.
Yeah. I mean, Lane Johnson landing Jason Kelce in the sixth round, like, that was a good thing.
I'm
like,
trying to think on the defensive.
You know, they took, last time they were at 12, they took Fletcher Cox. Like, it's a good selection.
Legit.
Brandon Graham has been a good selection.
Obviously, yeah. So if you go lineman and, but the fear I have in the moment, with all the attention that organization has gotten over the last, you know, couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah.
You could even say last 2 months. I feel like Lyman's just not going to be splashy enough for Howie.
Mm.
He's taken too much heat over these last 8 weeks.
So it's a receiver or a corner then?
Correct. Because he needs to be, he has to have a sexier pick.
Right.
Even though that's not what necessarily he should be doing. And in his mind, I think he would have a lineman that he knows could help this team.
Sure.
Yep. But he's thinking about the headlines. The headlines have not been good for him right now.
No. And I think this is probably the longest sustained period of negative press that Howie Roseman's ever had to deal with.
It's a lot.
Right? Because people kind of got a kick out of it the first time that Chip Kelly shipped them down the hall to deal with footballs or equipment or whatever he was dealing with.
And right? In fairness, he's been back out of that for a number of years.
Yes.
But this, I mean, people left and right are questioning not just your football smarts, but also who you are as a person.
His character's totally come under question.
Yeah, like you're a sketchy dude.
Right.
Is the way they're painting you.
Right.
And some would say there are people who don't care what is written about them.
It's possible. I don't get the impression that...
I think he does.
Well, and Jeffrey Lurie pays attention. Like, because, look, I think that really great leaders... people say they tune out the noise. I think really great leaders know when to pay attention and know when not to. Like, I think it's not just about putting yourself in a room and insulating yourself from everything. It's about knowing when criticism's coming from idiots, like, or when criticism's coming from people who...
Like, I always say, that absolutely Bill Belichick knows everything that is written and said about him and his team.
Yes. Yep.
He does not discuss it with you.
Right.
But I absolutely believe he knows everything that is out there.
And I'm just saying, I know that he is excited about Howie. He's always excited about Howie Roseman and what Howie brings to the table. But I don't know if the results aren't where the Eagles want them to be, whether it's in the players that they select, in the record that they have this season, whatever it is, and the negative press continues to be sustained, I might soften my stance a little bit down the road that Howie Roseman and is on perfectly solid ground.
Not me. Not, and I think you just look as far as Sirianni. I think we can, he's spoken three times,
three
press conferences. And the guy can't become more of a buffoon each time. And I don't think Howie or Jeffrey cares one iota.
No, I certainly don't think that now.
They're not saying, you know, anything to contradict. They don't reel him in. They don't care that he looks like, you know, my kid's 12-year-old football coach, you know, of a youth team that's a rah-rah guy and maybe know. I can't even get beyond, I don't even know what this guy knows about football, because I can't get beyond your antics that are so unprofessional for me at this level.
Well, so
super unprofessional.
D, I was trying to put my finger on it because the, you know, part of what people talk about with Nick Sirianni is that he's super competitive, right? And I don't know why I don't buy it with him versus, like, I could see Michael Jordan making me play ping pong 50 times until he beat me at ping pong. And, like, be like, oh, that's Michael Jordan being uber competitive, or golf or whatever. But, like, with Nick Sirianni, the impression that I get, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful, it's just my read on it, it's more like when my kids are like, Daddy, I'm racing you up the stairs, and then they run up the stairs, and I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, who cares? Like, rock, paper, scissors to determine competitiveness of prospects, and, oh, this guy's unbelievable. It makes me wonder how he's going to come off to a room full of veterans that are in here as professionals doing their jobs.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, in one conversation somebody brought up, you're going to have a tough start to the year because you have so many changes. You were a bad team. And so let's just say you could be 0-4, right? And now your guys like a Kelsey, a Fletcher Cox, your elder statesman, I have a hammy, I can't go, like, because his act is going to be so annoying on top of the fact that you're a bad team. And when people do annoying things with a bad team, it's just magnified.
You get into for who, for what territory.
Right.
It's like, what am I doing this
and for? And then you want to, like, kind of disassociate yourself with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Every time he opens his mouth now, it just gets worse and worse.
Seems like damage does end up getting done. Speaking of the draft, as we've set the table for that that exciting event, the start of the 2021 NFL draft is this Thursday, April 29th, and the Fanatic has you covered. Listen all day for all of the Fanatic hosts joining together as our entire team gets you ready for the draft. Hear Mike Miss on the morning show, hear John Kincaid on with Anthony, and hear Anthony on with Mike Miss and more. It's NFL draft coverage like no other this Thursday, April 29th, with our NFL Draft All-Star Spectacular. So that is what we have on tap. Now, of course, the question is what does Howie Roseman have on tap? What do the Eagles have on tap? More and more reports seem to indicate, despite the fact that the Eagles might have taken him at 6, that Devontae Smith might be available at 12.
I don't know that you could criticize him for taking him.
No way. I don't think so.
I think, and I hope it works out for that kid. You know, what did I read? It was 166 pounds. Is that?
And I think that the official weigh-in was like just over 6 feet and 160 pounds. Is that a big deal for you?
It wasn't when he's in college. Now do I have to feel different as an NFL guy?
Well, that's the question.
I don't know.
See, for me, it's like...
I say no.
If he were playing in the Pac-12 or he were playing in the Big 12 or something like that, where there are no defensive backs, then I'd be worried. But like the SEC is the closest thing to the NFL.
He's challenged.
Yeah.
And he still gets it done.
I mean, for me,
I say no problem.
Yeah, for me, it's a total non-factor.
And
now,
honestly,
for other people,
having watched a guy like an Iverson who had no business at his height and weight challenging the people that he did for as long as he did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he
was a guy who went to the rim all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have faith in people who showed that they can do something against top talent. I mean, that's top talent that you're talking about.
Certainly.
For Smith. And so I think that's fair to think he can be who he's been at college at the next level.
610-632-0975. It is D Lineham. It's Joe Torti. We are heading until 8 o'clock, so keep it locked right here on this Saturday morning on night.
Weekends on the Fanatic. D Lineham and Joe Torti. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia. The Fanatic.
Welcome back, D-Line. I'm Joe Torti, 97.5 The Fanatic. This weekend's programming is brought to you by Commonwealth Charter Academy. Discover the benefits of a K-12 public cyber education. Commonwealth Charter Academy can provide your child or grandchild with an education in the safe confines of your home at no cost to you. Inquire today about fall enrollment. Visit ccaeducate.me today. It is D-Line. It's Joe Torti, and it is NFL Draft Week. It's D Lineham's favorite week of the year.
He's got 11 in his pocket.
Chiefs traded for Orlando Brown yesterday, traded their first round pick away, and the Ravens pick up number 27. The Chiefs also traded a third rounder and a fourth rounder and a fifth rounder to get a Brown, a second round pick, and a sixth round pick. Do you like the move for either side, for both? The big question for Kansas City is what's your offensive line look like? And all of a sudden, with Tooney and with Brown, you're starting to rework things to protect Patrick Mahomes probably a little bit
better. And I think given their his running for his life in the Super Bowl, that's a good investment.
Yeah, I think so too.
And changing it, meaning even if you thought it was and it wasn't panning out, you know, to change it and reinvest is the right thing to do.
I knew there was a player I was missing. They pulled Kyle Long out of his 1 year retirement, got him to come back and play for the Chiefs.
Oh.
Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, look, Gronk came out of retirement. I didn't think he was going to have anything in the tank.
I really didn't either.
He changed his body. He did all this stuff. You're not doing anything. You're getting older in life. And if nothing else, one, he became more of a blocker.
Yes.
And then he became the man when you needed him in the Super Bowl. So who am I to judge when people come out of retirement?
Apparently, they only needed one game. Apparently, they were saving him the entire season. and it was, for one game.
And it was all for that. A pretty good payoff.
Worked out really well.
For both sides.
610-632-0975. My question for you is, now we've seen and heard from Sirianni, from Roseman, you're hearing all the draft nicks, all of the talking heads, all that, all of it. What is your comfort level with the crew making the selections? How much faith do you have that Howie Roseman's going to make the right?
I'm glad you said that, because it was very clear Sirianni has no say.
Yeah, no.
I get who I'm talking to on his Zooms. He gets from the analytics staff and from Howie.
Yeah.
And he makes his calls accordingly.
Yeah.
And he had no problem telling you that.
And look,
wouldn't you feel like you're a puppet? You're basically admitting you are a puppet for these people.
And for me, D, in reality, it's a fine line to walk, because this guy is not John Gruden or Urban Meyer or somebody. There is a legitimate possibility. I would say a legitimate probability.
Look,
Sirianni's happy to be here. Like, he's
of
just
course.
Happy to have the job.
And if Howie and Jeffrey have stumbled upon a diamond in the rough, you know, 2 years from now, I'll say I was wrong.
But I have to admit, the evidence doesn't look great so far, even without having played
well,
the game.
But just because I do believe that how you present yourself does matter.
Sure.
It says who you are.
Now, the thing that we discovered, and you brought this up about Doug Peterson, right, is that it turns out that the way that Peterson presents himself in the locker rooms and on the sidelines is quite different from the way that he addresses
the media.
He's not nearly as aw shucks, aw golly,
right,
in the locker room and
but
in
the
football
one,
setting.
The only thing I have to always say, I said, this guy has been in the NFL.
Right.
He's always been around it. And he was around some pretty good people.
For sure. Absolutely.
So that part he had, like, that's a box that was checked for him.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sirianni doesn't quite have that box checked at this point.
And you can't go back and make it ever check that box.
It's true. You can't make him be around Brett Favre. You can't make him be around. Yeah, you're right.
And Andy Reid.
Andy Reid, sure.
Come on.
Let's go to Tony in North Philly next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, good morning, Joe and D. Lionel. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Tony. How are you?
Everything is okay. It's a pleasure, D. I still remember that picture with you and your dad, with your dad holding you in the hand at the press conference.
Oh, that's funny.
That's iconic. You know, you've been an icon to us, D, and I appreciate you. I want to break down a draft. Would it be better to give you the prospects by each position or do a mock draft?
Either way.
Okay, I'm going to give you my mock draft. Now, depending, they really have to check Jalen Waddle's ankle. That's what concerns me. If he's good to go, you got to pick Waddle at 12, and he will be there. You know, if he's not there, you just grab the other one, Devonta Smith. Howie needs to not overthink this. Now, as far as the second round, I want Kadarius Toney, but he's probably not going to be there. So they might have to trade up, and I would give them I would give Buffalo Zach Ertz and their second round pick to move up to like 30 if they do that deal. That's the rumor trade. Okay. Now, if not Kadarius Toney, I don't want Terrence Marshall because he's an Alshon Jeffrey possession receiver. I want Anthony Schwartz out of the University of Auburn. Have y'all seen the highlights on him?
No, I haven't seen that at all, Tom.
Yeah, you gotta check out Anthony Schwartz, Joe, and he's the fastest receiver in the draft. And then I got some gems that a lot of people are not even mentioning. Now, if you go to the third round, there's a safety out of Syracuse, free safety. His name is Andre Sisco. He's like a Brian Dawkins receiver with more speed. This guy will knock you out of your socks. And so with that other third round pick, and I don't want to go too far because of time, Aaron Robinson, cornerback out of UCF, University of Central Florida. He's like an Al Harris type, and plus he has the hair, and plus he has the speed that Al Harris has. So you got your first three rounds right there.
All right, so Tony, you're taking it by the talent of the individual over need and position. Would that
be
right?
Well, those are the knees that we do have as well, Dave,
right.
And those are primary knees. Those are my top guys. Everybody else got their own board. Those are my guys.
I got you.
That guy, Andre Sisco, is going to be a Brian Dawkins.
Oh, man.
All right, if that's I'm going to remember.
Man, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I remember reading a story about Sisco that basically said that he went from being what people would call a football long shot to one of the like top potential safeties taken in the NFL. Like didn't have any scholarship offers, didn't play a down of varsity football and things like that. And then right before junior year, he like transferred to IMG Academy and the whole thing turned around, ends up at Syracuse and all that sort of thing. So I'll be watching him. I feel like I did not pay attention to Auburn football at all this year. I feel like they were never on when I was flipping games on and stuff like that. But Anthony Schwartz is listed as the Flash, is what people are apparently calling him on campus, is the Flash. So maybe he is that fast. So you heard wide receiver first, and you heard secondary.
Secondary, definitely. And then wasn't it wide receiver again?
Well, so you had the trade up.
Oh,
so
that's why
Yep. With Buffalo.
Yep.
It sounds like a lot of things that Howie Roseman would need to get right, slash also have the board kind of break the proper way. Because yes, you do trade back up for another wide receiver.
Yeah,
in the first
that's what
round.
I mean.
Yeah. So, what's the likelihood? Let's just say in the top three rounds that the Eagles come away with two wide receivers. I don't think that it's a likely scenario.
Well, the only reason I say wide receiver is flashier,
mm-hmm.
but it's not who Howie's been. But again, if that's supposed to be a strength of the guy, you all his rah, rah, rah. And if he works well with wide receivers, then I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. So I've thought of Bill Belichick because people look at Belichick with the secondary because that tends to be mm-hmm. his specialty. I found that it's cool when you can get him a Devin McCourty or a Ty Law, you know, someone who's special. But the thing that
he's gone out in the free agent.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
For me, you don't need those guys if that's your specialty.
I mean, honestly, I wish I felt confident that Howie is looking at his roster, truly sees the needs,
mm-hmm.
and even if it's not spectacular talk about, you know, linemen are not, they're not, people don't generally speak unless you're talking about Chase Young.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not a flashy thing, but invest in your line or linebackers, which you never draft anymore.
I can't believe that just came up in a conversation about the Eagles draft that
right.
linebacker
but,
was going to be.
You know what
thing.
I'm saying? Just
yeah.
like if you looked at your roster, make your top three picks things that will make your team get better.
Well, and so I think about all.
But I do think he thinks about the headlines. I do.
Oh, for sure. But we've seen in the past, the two teams that jump to my mind are the Arizona Cardinals and the Houston Texans, where you look at what they have defensively and offensively on the perimeter, and you have people talking about those teams in recent vintage being like, oh, those are Super Bowl teams. It's like, oh, wait a minute. They don't have any offensive line. Wait a minute. They don't have a defensive line. In the case of Houston, a defensive line that you're concerned
well,
about
they've screwed
at all.
That up so bad down there.
Right. Like, to me, you always see the same teams there that might have a weak point on the offensive line, but it's never that you have three holes on the offensive line
and
you see those teams succeeding. So you're right. Like, you look on the outside, yeah, it's exciting to get wide receivers, corners, and, you know, names that you know.
Sure, and that people can, you know, gravitate to over time. But if you think about it, I mean, this city loves Jason Kelce.
Yes.
And his time is, you know, there's a clock on this.
No doubt. I mean, it's
like let's get to it.
You've already traded down once. You know, if there are lots of players that you like at 12, could they trade down again? Of course they could. Like, you know, you're talking about two potential first-round centers going, but not until, like, the 20s.
Right.
Would it be out of the realm of possibility to see the Eagles go down? Of course not. Not if Jeffrey Lurie's writing off the season already.
Yeah. Why not?
You know what I mean?
And you have this need.
You do. You do. Plus, usually, not always, but usually you can count on centers to play interior offensive line. So potentially you have guard deals where you have, in the event that, I don't know, you don't have a healthy Brandon Brooks or you're trying to figure out what you're going to do at the other guard spot. It's a wait and see thing until Jason Kelsey's done and then you figure out what's going to happen later.
And look, I'm not trying to push the guy out the door by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying it's the fact that you talk about it each year now.
Right.
You know, the last two. It's common.
Look, I think it's, in my opinion, Jason Kelsey has earned the right to say I'm on a year-by-year basis.
Absolutely. Right? I got no problem with that.
Having said that, you can't get caught with your pants down if you're the Eagles. Like, you have to have some kind
of
plan.
Well, you should have a plan. And don't think like you're stealing, well, we don't have to do it yet.
Right.
No, because that's how you will get caught with your pants down.
Exactly. Now, like, I compare it with the Aaron Rodgers situation, right? And people are like, oh, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any right to be upset if they take a quarterback in the first round or trade up for him. Fair enough. But, like, I also don't get the impression that Aaron Rodgers has told the Packers, hey, I'm on a year-by-year thing. Like, it doesn't seem that way.
And in fairness, even if I, because I'm not a huge fan of Aaron. Like, I love him on the field.
Right, but as a
yeah,
person.
I'm not a huge fan.
I got you.
And he was not good at Jeopardy, by the way.
Okay, so he doesn't
the
get
host,
a job. Okay.
Oh, God. I think he was the worst thus far.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. But anyhow, I've been watching them all.
Do you have a favorite so far?
Oh, yeah.
Who's your favorite so far?
And I thought I would hate Jennings.
He was
so good.
Yeah. I thought so, too.
He handled the job with such respect. I thought he was going to be no, the answer we were looking for, like, of course, what? Yeah,
you
I thought,
idiot.
I thought he was going to be a know-it-all.
Right.
And he was so respectful. But back to my Aaron Rodgers. Dude, you had to sit and wait with a Brett having an ego that was bigger than this, certainly some would say as big as the planet. And what he wanted to do or not do, and there you are sitting waiting in the wings.
Right, yeah.
So now you're doing the same thing or think you are deserving of what Brett was feeling he was deserving of. And, you know, Justin Love is just hanging out, which is fine. But, like, you were Love. And
not
you are now
ago.
Favre.
Yeah. Well, isn't it amazing? Because I was thinking of that too, D, how, you know, bullied people become bullies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the, like, it's a cycle that's as old as time.
I just don't get it.
I'm like, Aaron, don't you remember, like, sitting there watching Ed Werder camping out in Hattiesburg, Mississippi
right,
to see if Favre was going to come back?
And it's no problem that you become the next guy. It's just, you would hope that you learned a little something in terms of dealing with it with a little more humility than the guy who did it before you.
Right, exactly.
And if
the angle is, can you believe this guy?
Right.
Like,
I mean, I just don't understand how people, man, they have short memories.
Yeah, it's the truth. Let's go to Eric in South Philly next on The Fanatic. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good morning.
Yeah, just wanted to give him a thought on the draft.
Yeah.
The fact that they traded down from six, I figure they're going to go defense. Because my pick at six, if the Bengals were going to take Jamar Chase, would have been the tackle from Oregon to now, well, I think. He would have been my pick at six if Jamar wasn't there.
Okay.
But I figure at 12, I figure we go cornerback. Just because I can't even name three cornerbacks on the roster right now. beyond Darius, Avante, I'm not even sure if Kravon LeBlanc is still there. but I think we should go corner. And my pick would be Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech.
The but, back doesn't because, worry you, huh?
Yeah, the injury history with him, the back, and, you know, Howie, this is like a must-win draft for Howie. He's probably going to take something more surefire as injury-wise anyway. Mm-hmm. So he's probably going to go with J.C. Horn, which I don't have a problem with that. If Sertan's not there, J.C.'s not a bad situation probably. For round two, I would go Rashad Bateman, the receiver from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
If not him, I'm Kadarius Toney. He's pretty good. I wouldn't mind him at the wideout spot. For the two picks, I think we got two picks in the third round. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right. For those two picks, I say go offensive line or defensive line and linebacker. I won't be mad at those either.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they have good faith in either Andre Dillard or Mulata.
Maybe
Mulata. They could put Dillard inside for the guard spot because I'm not sure who our left guard is at the moment. Is it still Amalu? I think he might start at left guard.
I'm not sure that they're sure, Eric, because I know that interior offensive line, and thanks for the phone call, man, appreciate it. That's they have tons of questions about what's happening there. You don't know if Brandon Brooks is healthy. You don't know what's happening there.
Yeah.
But it's so funny that I'm not saying that anyone's right or wrong, but I saw Toney, who a lot of people are saying, oh, that's like a second-round wide receiver, got mocked to Washington, I think, at 19. You know what I mean? Like, there's such a wide range where people, it only, you say it all the time, D, it only takes one for somebody to fall in love.
All the time.
But yeah, I'm curious to see how this draft shakes out, only because, like, foundationally, I feel like it's a decent draft in the areas where the Eagles have needs. And the question is now, are they going to be able to nail this draft, not necessarily for this year, but to shorten the rebuilding process? I saw a fair enough question on Twitter, and I think it was from Anthony. I'm not positive if it was him or not, but saying that the Eagles process or the Sixers process took 4 years. Will the Eagles process be longer, shorter, or the same amount of time as the Sixers rebuild?
First of all, I would say it was more than 4 years. I guess he's saying 4 years of hell and then a 50 and then a 50 win season.
Yeah, exactly.
That to me is, you still haven't accomplished anything.
Right.
We're still talking about nothing has been accomplished.
You would think that you're still building towards something now.
So I'm going 4 years, 250 win seasons, and here I am, and Brooklyn is on your heels, and Milwaukee is right there with them, depending on what happens tonight.
Right.
So where are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more than 4 years in my book.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, right. So maybe let's just say the hell portion of it, you know?
Because that was a lot. It went 18, 19, 10, 22? No, more than 22. Maybe 28?
Okay. All right. I remember.
I think it's in that.
I've all suppressed.
But it's those four incredibly low number of wins.
Right. Yeah.
And so, by the way, might I add in there 10? I did say 10.
It was the third one there. Yeah.
You know, and the 26-game losing streak and the gypsies that came in and out.
And making sure that you didn't have a point guard on the roster for a fraction of that.
Michael Carter-Williams was your guy. You drafted him.
But I mean, at some point in the process...
They traded him away. Right.
They didn't have a point guard on the roster. Now, it wasn't long. It was for like a 2 or 3 week span, but there wasn't one for a little while. I have to remember when that was. Pat Egan is the king of documenting the process, so I've got to go back and check that out.
I'll challenge that because I don't ever remember that there wasn't a point guard on there.
Okay, we'll have to ask Pat.
Yeah. Okay, because he's the master of basketball in this city.
I didn't say that. I said he's chronicled the process.
The process, I actually was still covering the beat, and I don't remember that there wasn't a point guard.
So I'll have to challenge him then. So the the 4 years of hell that they went through? Is the Sixers or the Eagles rebuild? Or let's say their single-digit wins? Is that going
I see what you're saying, yeah.
You know, that same amount of time?
Well, I mean, I will say this. If last year was just because it was injury provoked.
Right.
But you now have left yourself, and I think the quarterback situation is a huge part of anything in the NFL. You've exposed yourself. You know, you gave up on Carson, and I'm not going to criticize. I didn't have any faith left.
No, certainly not.
But you're not in a position to know that Jalen's the answer.
No, well, and so that so was the thing that infuriated me about that press conference was people like almost demanding that they commit to Jalen Hurts as the that was my biggest thing. Oh, can you believe that they didn't commit to Jalen Hurts the star?
Why would you?
He doesn't know this guy.
No. Well,
give me a break. What did you see last year that says they can't even consider? They can't even consider that anyone else could possibly be the answer at quarterback.
No, but he could answer the question differently.
I guess so. I get it. It all comes down to how Sirianni conducts his press conferences. Or is conducted.
It really what it comes down to, can this guy, does he know football enough that will be the reason he gets the respect of his locker room?
Right.
Because his rah-rah stuff is not going to be the reason. You know, you at the end of the day, you have to be able to communicate with your people.
Right.
And truth of the matter is, a high school locker room is different than a college locker room, is different than a pro locker room. At any sport, it's just true. And by the time you get to the pro level, everybody is getting paid. Coach gets paid and the guys get paid. So this is business, dude.
It's the truth. Well, and that's the thing is that I feel like I think that Nick Sirianni probably hits the right notes with some people, but
with some
pros, with grizzled vets, with people like how do you think he feels versus 10, 12, however many teams have come out and said, yeah, we're not doing the voluntary workouts because we're not satisfied with how like the NFL's safety protocols have been or whatever, versus Nick Sirianni. I get to coach offense and defense. You know what I mean? Like,
this guy has spoken out loud 3 times, and we already have things that we say that kind of mock the whole hiring of him.
Right.
I get to coach offense and defense. Rock, scissors, paper. You know, I mean, is that what you want to be known for?
I mean, so far, now there's no football that's been played, but so far that's what we have.
That's all we have.
That's what we have at this point.
And his first one, we just know that we gave him the benefit of the doubt saying he's probably incredibly nervous. We're in a pandemic. He's in a room by himself looking into a computer camera. You know, doing Zoom.
Yeesh.
So we put that one aside. It's not good.
Oh, yeah. There we go. We got to it there. It's just the whole thing's not good. 610-632-0975. It's D-Line. I'm Joe Torti. Quaz, Mike. We're going to get to you guys next right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.